Thanks, Bio, for some of that, too. You guys worked together, made some adjustments. These guys are working on the fly. And part of the reason is, you know, we told you we would have a new projector. That was inaccurate, or a new bulb. And so we got the bulb after 3 weeks' delay. And that was the only way to turn our old projector on to find out it's no good anymore. So the old one is pooched. This is still a borrow. There's a new one coming and being installed on Tuesday. That's what some of our scrambling around here is. So if it's being installed on Tuesday, that means we should have a projector by mid-February. So just sort of letting you know what's going on there. And thanks for your, I trust, is your patience and all of that as we scramble and try to work all these bugs out. Hey, something else. We had a meeting after the service last week, and one of the things we've been doing some renovations here. There have been some new lights put in. There have been new windows put in. Our entranceway has been updated with lighting and wall treatment and that kind of stuff and paint. And so part of what we're doing here is there is new carpet coming for the sanctuary, and in that way there won't be the lovely red tape that's been put down the middle to seal the seams, which are falling apart. So we're going to get some new carpeting here. That's been ordered. I think it might be 4 to 6 weeks before that comes in, and we're going to do that. Well, one of the questions that we had is we were wondering where you as a congregation sort of stood on our seating, because we talked about the possibility of chairs or pews. And so last week we asked you to stay behind and just let's do a little vote on that, you know, just to get a feel of where you all are. So we did that. 86% of you voted to keep the pews here. So that's an undeniable thing. You know, we all have our preferences. Yeah, you know, I like this or I like that, and there's reasons for it. But we're going to do that, and what we're going to do is have these reupholstered. And so there's carpeting coming and reupholstering. And so sometimes I just need to talk to you and just say, you know, catch up and let you know what's going on. Because some folks have asked, hey, we voted last week. What was the result? And so it was a resounding a vote. And so now we know, and we move ahead. And things are in the works already to do that. So just wanted you to know, update you on that, as we've been trying to keep you up to date on some other things too. So last week I shared with you that as leadership here at Pioneer Park Church, we believe that life with Jesus is better than life without. I hope you believe that too, that life with Jesus is better than life without. And it's with that in mind that I shared with you the vision that we have, that we believe that God has impressed on our hearts for Pioneer Park Church this year and beyond. In the Old Testament, before I share that part, in the Old Testament, a book called Habakkuk, we read this, and I shared this last week. It says, "The Lord God answered me," and this is what God said, "Write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets, so anyone may easily read it." That's in Habakkuk 2:2. And so it's in that spirit, I said, that we believe the vision that God's encouraging us to focus on this year and beyond is to see more people do life with Jesus. We believe that life with Jesus is better than life without. And in that spirit, we believe that God is impressing on our hearts to see more people do life with Jesus. And so we've written it down clearly. Last week I said not on tablets. That would be untrue if you have a Samsung or an Android or something like that. That's a tablet, but different than what they meant back in Habakkuk. But you'll see this in different places as the weeks and months progress. And we've written it so that you can easily read it. We believe that God has called us to be a church, to be His people, whose words and actions will result or move people toward doing life with Jesus, because we believe that life with Him is better than life without. And we're further convinced that this will happen as people encounter Jesus, as they experience Jesus, and as they express Jesus, and as we come to better express Jesus through our words and actions, others will then be able to encounter, experience, and then express Jesus. The result being that more people get to do life with Jesus. And so last week we expanded, I tried to expand a little bit more on that, but this week I want to just share with you for a few minutes, if I can, the encounter part. What does it mean to encounter? What would it mean to encounter Jesus? Well, when we look at a dictionary definition of encounter, some of the meanings that come up are to come upon face to face, to meet, a chance meeting, a coming into the vicinity, which means the area, of a celestial body. It's funny, they use the example of a Martian, actually, not Jesus, but a Martian. So I guess it's maybe more realistic to, I don't know what they think, but coming into the vicinity of a celestial body like a Martian. I don't know anybody who's met a Martian, but that was the example. Of course, in the Bible, we see Jesus encountering people over and over and over again all the time. The Gospels record some fascinating stories of Jesus' interaction with people, and Jesus used all those encounters as teachable moments, from a despised tax collector named Zacchaeus to a respected Pharisee, Nicodemus, to the thief on the cross. Of course, there was Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul, and that whole road to Damascus and donkey and bright shining light, if you've ever read that in your Bible. And then there was Jesus' encounter with a demon-possessed man, with a Roman centurion, with the rich young man, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the hungry crowd, and all those who Jesus healed. I haven't gone into the stories of all those, but you may be familiar with some of those stories and how these people encountered Jesus. But I want to take just a few minutes this morning and revisit an account called the woman at the well. We considered this together. You'll all remember this in detail. Back at the beginning of October last year. Remember that? When we... Does anybody remember last week? and we talked about this account. But the reason I want to just sort of visit that again is this account is the perfect model and example of coming to do life with Jesus through encountering, experiencing, and expressing, focusing today on what it means to encounter Jesus. And we read about this encounter in the Gospel book of John. It's in John chapter 4 if you want to read it. I'm not going to read the verses today, but it's in John chapter 4 verses, I think it's 1 to 30, just the first chapter there. You can see it. It's about Jesus' encounter with a woman at a well, a Samaritan woman. But what I am going to do is just summarize it as it applies as we go along. What happened in this story, if you remember, or perhaps you've read it in this account, as always, there's some hubbub from people who weren't into what Jesus was doing. And they didn't understand exactly what was happening, and so they start murmuring and complaining against him. And so it causes him to move on for a bit from the place he's at. That's kind of the setting of the story. He's moved on from this place, and he's heading to a place called Galilee. And he passes through a place called Samaria. Maybe this is getting more familiar. It's an area where Jews would not have been excited to stop in. In fact, most of them would have gone the long way, like a really long way, out of their way to avoid Samaria in interacting with Samaritans. And so Jesus is traveling to Galilee, and he ends up in this place called Samaria. Samaritans were a people that were part Jewish and part what's called Gentile or non-Jewish. And because they were a people like that, what happened back then is it resulted in both Jews and Gentiles not liking them. But Jews would have even seen them as dirty and unclean. That's just what was going on. Also, Samaritans had their own version of the scriptures. They said, well, we think it goes like this. And they even had a different place where they worshiped, their own temple in a different place than the Jews. And so there was all of this kind of thing going on. And so it's about noon, and Jesus is tired, so he takes a break at a place called Jacob's Well. He needs a drink of water. And it's here that a Samaritan woman has an encounter with Jesus. And there are some truths about an encounter with Jesus that I just wanted to share or suggest to you this morning. The first one is that an encounter with Jesus will often not be what we expected. An encounter with Jesus will often not be what we expected. In this story, we see a few ways here in which this unnamed woman is surprised by meeting Jesus. For one thing, it's about noon. And she's probably not used to seeing anyone at the well. I mean, most people would have come to the well in the morning or in the evening when the temperatures would have been cooler. Was it Emmy? Emmy that just put something on Facebook. She said, oh, what is it, like 3,900 degrees where she is or something like that. And it's like, it was probably close to 3,900 degrees Celsius here in this place where the woman comes to the well at noon, which is totally abnormal because people came in the cool of the morning or of the evening. But she probably had reason to want to avoid being there at the busy times. There were probably a lot of people in her town who looked down on her because of her reputation. So seeing anyone there at the well at that time was unexpected. She's also surprised because she knows that he's a Jew. She could identify that, and he would probably hate her. So here you come to the well. You're not expecting anybody to see anybody. And then you see somebody who probably hates on you. Most Jews wouldn't have interacted at all with her because they would have thought it would make them unclean. Jesus not only is interacting with her, but he's asking her for water. He's not worried about being made unclean by her. And again, she's surprised because she's a woman and he's a man. It probably wouldn't have been normal for a strange man to be talking with her so casually. And so she's coming up against a lot of unexpected things. And you know, in our lives, when we come to Jesus, we usually have a lot of our own expectations. But he has his own plan. And it's often different from mine. It's often different from yours. But it's always better. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, maybe this isn't true for you, but I think sometimes we might expect Jesus to give us an answer to a question we have. Instead, he just gives us more of himself. We might expect him to guide us to a specific route that he wants us to take in our life. Instead, he reminds us just to seek him first and everything else will follow. We might hope or expect him to take certain difficulties or troubles out of our life. Instead, he tells us to trust him and wait patiently. We might expect him to teach us one thing, but he teaches us another thing instead. Whatever it is, we're often surprised and reminded that he does actually have things under control. And so when we come to him, when we encounter him, we should learn to expect maybe the unexpected. Well, a second thing I think we see from this and also is true in our lives is that an encounter with Jesus also addresses questions we didn't even know we needed answers to. The woman at the well is very focused at first on the literal water at the well. She's never heard of living water. She doesn't know how to look for it or hope for it, and so she doesn't know to ask for it. But Jesus introduces her to this question. What he says to her, he says, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And as soon as he explains it to her, she's all in. Even though it seems she doesn't completely understand what he's talking about, she's now the one asking for a drink. Where would you get this living water? Now, maybe as you think or we think over our lives, has Jesus ever revealed something to you that you didn't even know you needed or even thought about doing? Have you ever had one of those times where Jesus just reveals something to you or shows you, I didn't even know I needed to do that. I didn't even know I wanted to do that. It's the idea of him being unexpected. I didn't see that coming. And I've probably shared with you before, but I know when I undeniably felt God's call to ministry, I was sitting in a church off to the side I was on a church board, and so I had gone to this conference, and just sitting off to the side, someone had said to me, you know, God bless you, elderly ladies in the church, whoever you might self-identify as that. You know, the older ladies in the church growing up, they'd say, oh, you know, as I was a kid, you know what? I think someday you'll grow up to be a pastor. And I'm like, gross, no. And they would say things like that and encourage me. And, you know, I wasn't in tune with that at that time at all. And And so I think at this time that I went to that conference, you know, a friend of mine who was going to Emmanuel Bible College said, you know what, you know, I wonder if God wants you to be in ministry. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just settle this. Well, Patty and I went to Emmanuel Bible College for a day and hung out with them. And, you know, we prayed and I prayed about it and said, God, do you want me to be a pastor or no? Okay, no. Okay. So, settled. Done. Told my friend, Mike, I've prayed about it. You know, I really have. And I don't feel God calling me to do that. So, done. You know, good. Thanks. Got a job at General Motors. And I'm sitting over here in this side of a church, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe the story, like, I start getting emotional. You know, they're not even doing anything about going to be a pastor. It's just a business meeting. And I, you know, they were doing some worship, and, you know, tears are coming out of my eyes, and I'm like, you know, am I stressed? Am I having a breakdown? What's going on? And I'm just, suddenly at one point, I'm just like crying like a baby over here. I'm like, what is going on? And I didn't know what was going on. I was confused because, I mean, clearly it wasn't a call to ministry. We already settled that. We prayed, got an answer, and it was done. And then the guy at the front, he says, folks, you know, just, I don't know, he's just talking about money or business or something or bank accounts. And then all of a sudden he stops and he says, you know, this isn't like me. I don't normally do this. But he didn't see me. I'm like, you know, two sections over. And he says, God is calling some people to ministry. Right now, right here. He said, I don't know who you are, but something's going on in your heart and your mind right now. I'm like, okay, you know, I was already heading up to the front when he said, if that's you, come to the front. And so I went to the front, and there was maybe two or three of us, and he prayed for us and went back to the seat. And then he started on the bank account stuff again. You know, we went on. But that was an unexpected, undeniable encounter with Jesus that led me to being in ministry. And now for, you know, about 27 years, 28 years, I've been involved in doing that. I tried to get out a couple times. I did. I tried really hard to get out. And he's trapped me. Like, I'm here. And I'm not going to be able to do anything else. So it sounds rather resigned. But that was unexpected, and it changed my life. And it changed others' lives too, my kids, my wife. And it's been crazy and amazing and wonderful and terrible and all those great things. Encountering Jesus leads to answers to questions we didn't know we had. And maybe those questions sound like, what's in your heart that needs to change in the way you interact with someone? Maybe that question looks like, in what ways are you not relying on Jesus? Maybe the question is, in what ways are you not believing that the gospel applies to you or to someone else? Or maybe the question is, how do you need to focus on being more like Jesus rather than trying to change someone else? I don't know. What's the question for you? It's stuff like that. It's kind of annoying, right? But really good for us. Jesus is patient, and he reveals things to us when we need to hear them in ways that we can respond to. And that's what he begins to do with the woman at the well. But then he gets even deeper, because an encounter with Jesus also reveals the gross parts of us. Yeah. An encounter with Jesus also reveals the gross parts of us. What I mean is that Jesus knows exactly what this woman's biggest struggle is. And he could have just said to her, well, look, lady, you're sexually immoral. Everybody in town knows you've been sleeping with quite a few different guys over the last few years. In fact, you're living in sin with someone right now. You need to make some major changes. Even in a loving tone, that would have been overwhelming and would probably put somebody off. But he also doesn't say to himself, he doesn't reason, well, I know she's got a lot of sin issues, but I don't want to offend her. Or I don't want her to go through the awkwardness of having a hard conversation. So I'm just going to ignore that. Instead, Jesus knows the importance of revealing sin in a loving way. And he gently lets her realize what's going on with herself, because he tells her to bring her husband to the well. And she sees an opportunity to admit what's been going on with her. And he reveals that part of her immorality. but also shows that it's not enough to make him bail on her, because he sticks around and he keeps talking with her. See, when we truly have an encounter with Jesus, he'll do this with us too. I mean, we don't usually want to have our sin pointed out to us. I mean, that can even occasionally make us even not want to come to him. But we need to remember that he's kind and patient, and he doesn't point out our sin without also being there to help us overcome it and to change. Well, I would suggest to you this morning that an encounter with Jesus also gets to the real heart of the issue. It's similar to the previous point, but we can see that Jesus will always get to the true heart of the issue, whatever it is we're dealing with. And he's revealed here in this account her sin to her, and she understands then that he's a prophet, she says. He knows things he couldn't have known by any natural means. And so since he's a prophet, she now begins to bring up a question that's been bugging her for a long time. Remember I said the Samaritans had their own kind of way of seeing things, and they had their own temple on a certain mountain, and the Jews had their temple in Jerusalem. And since she knows he's a Jew, she knows he believes Jerusalem is the place to worship. And so she asks him to clear up the discrepancy between her people's tradition and his. What he reveals to her is that the heart of this worship matter isn't necessarily the past and the traditions of these two people. The heart of the issue is what's happening now. Those who worship God must do so, he says, in spirit and truth, and the Messiah has arrived. It's easy for us to get distracted by secondary issues and skip the truly important things. And sometimes we want to argue about whether we should have traditional or contemporary. Maybe it's to do with music. Maybe it's how a service is arranged. And we have our preferences and in a worship service at church. But sometimes those things can take our focus off actually worshiping Jesus in our hearts and in our actions. When we truly encounter Jesus, we can be certain that he will get to the heart of the issue, no matter what we do to try and distract from it. And then I would suggest, as you might guess, an encounter with Jesus sends us out to tell others about him. I would probably call what happens next in the story of the Samaritan woman one of my favorite parts. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He stayed there 2 days. They begged him to stay. And so he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." That's awesome. That's awesome. Jesus has been an unexpected encounter in her life, and he revealed the sin she struggles with, and he cares about what's at the heart of her issues. She's been amazed by him and believes him when he says that he's the Messiah. And then his disciples come back. They had stepped out. They had been traveling with Jesus. And he sat down and said, "Hey, I'm kind of hungry. You guys going to town and grab a snack, grab some lunch from the deli and bring it back, and we'll have it to eat." So after all this goes on, they get back. And they're surprised to see Jesus talking to a strange Samaritan woman. And they start to go like, "What is going on with you?" And so she sees this and she kind of sneaks off back to the village, right? And when she gets back to town, she tells everyone she can find that will listen to her that she's met the Messiah. I mean, picture that. A woman who just a few hours ago was going to the well in the middle of the day to avoid seeing people comes back into town talking to as many people who will listen. What a change. And she tells them that Jesus knew everything about her. He's a prophet, and her enthusiasm for him makes them want to meet him themselves. And they believed her because of her testimony about him. But when they encounter him for themselves, they're changed. They believe even more. And so this, I think, is the most important thing we need to remember about a true encounter with Jesus. When we truly encounter him and we experience his work in our lives, in our hearts, we can't keep it to ourselves. We should be compelled by what he's shown us and by the love he's placed in our hearts to help other people meet him and be changed by him too. A true encounter with Jesus sends us out to tell others about him. But here's the thing about encountering Jesus. He wants to meet you and have you do life with him right where you are, right how you are. A guy named Tim Keller said this. He said, the only thing Jesus wants us to come to him with is nothing. But we don't do that because we come with resumes and we come with experiences and we come with polished images. At least we try to. And I think the thing that we need to do is to let him encounter us where we are, just as we are. Wherever you're at, whether you're in a mess or you think you're just fine, be open to encountering him. And you know what? I know it's easy. I've said this many times. It's easy for me to stand here and speak words because it takes some vulnerability and it takes some humility. But take a look at what it says here in James 4, 6 to 10. God opposes the proud. I don't want God to oppose me. But he gives grace to the humble. And so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Over sin. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. He will lift you up in honor. So what's your story? What's your story? How have you encountered Jesus? How did that happen? Has he changed you? Who do you need to tell about it? Let me remind you as we just close this morning that one of the ways that people will encounter Jesus, I mean, you know, this woman met Jesus, you know. So you go like, yeah, okay, well, she met him, okay. Actually, like, there he was. One of the ways people encounter Jesus is you. One of the ways people encounter Jesus is you. And you'll reflect him well or you'll reflect him poorly. So how would someone encounter Jesus at Pioneer Park Church? Well, they might encounter him as soon as they step in the door, and you're a greeter. And it all depends on how you respond, how you are doing that. Maybe it's an usher. Maybe you're at a door. Maybe you're helping. Maybe it's through a Sunday school teacher or helper. Maybe it's in the foyer around the tables in your conversation, having coffee before church. Maybe it's through the food cupboard program that we have that people will have an encounter with Jesus. Maybe it's in our time of worship here. Maybe, God willing, it's through something that's said through the speaking of the word. Maybe it's how we respond when things don't go smoothly. They'll say, what's going on with them? Wow. Maybe it's at our potluck when you sit down with someone and talk with them. Maybe it's in the life groups. Well, that's just a few ways. I could go on. But you know, each one of us needs an encounter with Jesus. He interacted with all kinds of people. He healed some. He rebuked others. He encouraged those who needed the words of affirmation. Only he could speak. There were rich, poor, young, old. Jesus knows, and he cares for us all. No one, capital letters, no one, is beyond his love and compassion. The stories of his encounters with the people of his day are also our stories. And I hope that your encounter with Jesus begins your walk with him. I hope that your encounter with Jesus gives you a new insight into who he is. And I hope that your encounter with Jesus makes you more like him. Let's pray. Lord, your word is so filled with your encounters with others. True, the whole thing. Lord, I thank you for your compassion. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the forgiveness that is available through you. I thank you that you promised to walk with us on this journey that we call life, that you call life. I thank you that your desire is to do life with us. I pray, Father, that we would desire to do life with you. Lord, speak to our hearts, not just right now, but through this week, through these days. May we have an encounter with you. I don't mean just a flashy experience or anything like that, but truly an encounter that reveals the things that we need to make right, and an encounter that tells us more about you, an encounter that leads us into a deeper walk with you. Father, I pray you do this. I thank you that you're willing. In Jesus' name, amen.